Our church is blessed to have a relationship with good friends and partners in ministry for the Lord Jesus' work in the Rayburn family. They are here this morning with us, if you haven't noticed. Thank you, Allison, for reading. Blessed me by reading this morning. I've asked Justin to share a scripture with us as a church this morning on something that has been meaningful to him and his family as they've served in South America for this long time. And many of you know, or some of you may not, they'll be transitioning and moving to a different area. I'd like for Justin to be able to tell you about that. But I know that the Rayburn family is a family who concentrates on God's Word. And so I would like for you, Justin, if you will, come share God's Word with us this morning and in your heart.
Hello. It's an honor to be with you guys today. I remember last stateside, I'll say this, we're leaving on Friday, so this is our last church visit, and I remember our last stateside was in 2012, and we didn't get to visit you guys last, and I was kind of upset about that last time, so I'm really excited that we get to visit you this time. It's emotional for us, because we hold you guys in our hearts, like Paul says to the Philippians, in Philippians 1, how he holds them in their hearts, how they make his prayers a joy. You do that for us through your prayers, through your letters, through Awana helping us in our mission with the dirt bike. Many, many ways, more than any other church. I don't say that to put those guys down or other churches down, but to encourage you and to let you know that you've played a huge part in our ministry. So to summarize, I'll kind of summarize what's happened to us the last 3 years since 2012. We did our first stateside. We went back in 2012 to Paraguay, where we worked with an indigenous group called the Buya. And many of you know that and remember that, and you saw the slideshow and the pictures. The term went really well. There's no other way to say it. God did some things. I have stories upon stories about, at the end of the story, you just say, there's no other way that happened except there is a God. Because we saw people come to Christ that it took 8 years from the first time they heard the gospel through interactions in this web of a network of meeting people's kids. It's just crazy things that it just doesn't happen. And I could tell those stories over and over again, but to kind of summarize it is that God did an awesome thing and was already doing something before we got there, and we just kind of jumped in and were able to connect some of these things. We saw some of the Buddha come to Christ. We saw new groups started. We saw a chief come to Christ and open up a whole community. And one of the most important things is that the Paraguayans, there was a lot of gospel amongst the Paraguayans. There were a lot of Baptists. There have been Baptists working amongst Paraguayans for a long time. They took the mantle and said, hey, we can do this. We can bring the gospel to where it's not in our own country. And we had 30 to 40 to 50 people plus Paraguayan churches say, hey, we're going to reach that community, or hey, we're going to work together to reach this area, putting stories and Buya on the radio so that every community in our department could hear the gospel now in their own language. It was amazing just what happened in a short period of time. But because of that, in January of last year, in 2015, we started asking ourselves, do we need to come back? Do they need us? And it was obvious they didn't. And I told one of the stories that I think I told it Sunday night about Severiano. We were at one of our meetings where we get together and we kind of debrief about what's going on, what happened the last month. And we gave him the news that we weren't coming back. And this guy, Severiano, who's a great worker, he stood up and said, excuse me, brother, but I'm going to say something. We don't need him anymore. And so I was kind of heartbroken and joyful at the same time, But they didn't. Those guys were solid believers before. They just needed somebody to say, hey, there's an unreached people group, and God calls us to go there. And they did it. And so we've kind of started transitioning out of Paraguay. We would give over the work, the things we were doing, slowly to other people. We have another teammate with the IMB who are a Korean couple, and they're still there, and they send us messages every now and then, and everything's still going smoothly without us, so that's good. But we start praying, what's next, God? We looked at other indigenous groups in South America, in Colombia and Ecuador, and it just wasn't where God was calling us. And we started looking on the other side of the world, in North Africa, Middle East, amongst Muslim peoples, and through some different things, God led us to this group in the desert. the people group, the name of the group literally means the people of the desert. So we say we are working with the people of the desert. There are about 1 million of them. As far as we know, there's 2 believers, maybe 4. But we're definite there's 2 because we had IMB workers who went through there and they're not there anymore. I'm going to share a little bit about them in a second. So we're starting over. We're going from jungle to desert, from Guarani to Arabic, from an animistic tribe where there's spirits and everything to Islam. And so it's a big change for us, and it's going to be tough. We're going to have to learn a new language. We're going to have to learn all the culture and all that stuff again. When we were excited the first time, you know, going to learn Spanish and then Guarani and get with this indigenous tribe, had all this zeal of, you know, something new. Well, now at this point, I know what it takes and the time that it takes and the frustration. And so I'm excited. But I think now I'm excited more for the right reasons. Because I'm not excited about just being a new place. I'm not excited about a new language or a new experience. Like, that does not excite me. I've had that too many times already. I'm done with that. But I'm excited that one day we're going to be able to get to this group in the desert, the people of the desert, and hopefully share the gospel. And just like the Bu'a, that God was already working amongst them. The Spirit had been doing all kinds of crazy, awesome things amongst them. And we just got to be a part of that. I know that He's already doing that. And so we're going to get to be a part of that. Before I step down, I'm going to share something with you from Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 1, you guys can get that up for us. 2 Corinthians 1, I'm going to start in verse 8. I hope this will encourage you guys and challenge you a little bit, this passage. 1 Corinthians 2, or 2, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, yeah, 1:8, yeah, you got it. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Now, first of all, I have never experienced what Paul has gone through. If you look in the rest of this in 2 Corinthians towards the end, when he starts going through that laundry list of all these things, I was sick, shipwrecked, beaten, and he goes through all those things. I've never been there. And some of you guys may have been there. You may have experienced depression or frustration or moments of hopelessness and sickness and loss of loved ones and things like that. You maybe have got to that point. Probably many of you have got to that point more than even we have. But we have gone through some things. We've had our house go completely moldy and had to scrub everything for 2 weeks and live in somebody's living room. We've had to leave family members and hear things that family members probably shouldn't say to each other, but they're not believers and so they don't understand what we're doing. And so on. You know, we've been through some things and we felt that loss. And it's hard, you know. Well, after that moldy house story, I remember about a month later, it was a horrible time because I was going through my head like, is this worth it? You know, is this really worth it to go through all this, to have my kids sleeping on the floor at somebody's house and screaming all the time and having to bleach everything and move again and I'm not even doing any work? You know, asking all those questions like, what am I even doing here? You know, and going through that kind of depression and frustration. And about a month later, I talked to my boss about it and we were kind of debriefing it. And our boss was really good. He worked with indigenous for years, and so he knew what we were going through, and he'd been there. And he asked, well, how are you doing now? You know, how spiritually and your family and stuff like that. And I told him, I said, I never want to go through that again. I don't want to do that. Not just that, but anything. I don't want to be in that point of just desperation of just saying, what's the point? You know, of all, why? I don't want to go through that again. But I regret that I can't live in that place of where I'm relying completely on God. Where when Paul says, he's talking about all these afflictions, and Paul's been through it. I mean, more so than we'll probably ever go through. And all that things he's been through, the shipwreck, the sickness, the people beating him, the people throwing him out of the city, you know, in prison and all these things. He says, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. That's kind of where I am now. where I'm going to miss you guys. I'm going to miss family. I don't really want to learn another language, honestly. I'm excited about the opportunity to share the gospel with people, but I'm not excited about all these changes. You know, I'm not excited about all the travel. I'm just not excited about that. But man, these times are so good spiritually. When you're just like, I don't want to do this. I want to be a missionary. I want to share the gospel. But the burden is just it stinks. It's not fun. But that circle starts, and then it comes around to, God, you are good. Man, when you just get stripped of everything and just rely completely on Him, it's such a good moment. And I hope you guys can experience that. And I hope when you guys go through struggles that you will come full circle from that frustration, depression, whatever it is, just it comes back to, God, you are good. You know, David did that so many times in the Psalms, didn't he? When he was being chased by Saul or his own son trying to kill him. And he's, you know, gotten to the point where he's just begging God for something different, for vindication. And he comes back to, but you are the God of hosts, the God of my salvation. You know, and I hope we can all, you know, experience that at one time. And the second part of this is, He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. And with our hope on Him, we set our hope that He will deliver us again. So I know that there will always be hope at the end of those frustrations, right? And we all know that, and we'll go through that. But it's good to be reminded of it, I think. Here's your part. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. I did not understand the importance of prayer until going through those moments, and the prayers of others. Like I think I'm in the beginning of our missionary career, I neglected gathering prayer support. But after kind of going through those frustrations and being out there alone, you really understand how important it is to know that people are praying, not just for comfort, but for motivation. Because it helps me when days get hard and I say, but the people in Plaquemine are praying for us. I know that they're on their knees. I know that they're working hard in Plaquemine. And so that spurs me to work harder throughout the hard times. So your prayer's appointment, everybody asks, what can we do for you? And most people, I think, are thinking of, you know, like material or financial things like that. My answer, this whole stateside, has been, please pray. Fast and pray. Not just for us, but pray for the people that we're going to work with. Pray for the people of the desert, that God will open their hearts. Pray that the Lord will be faithful. That hope that Paul talks about, that we will experience that, and that will keep us and motivate us to keep going. Something else that kind of cemented that and nailed it home is we were talking to some people who work there. Where we're going, the city where we're going has had one single man and two in a couple. And I was talking to people about it recently, and everybody we talked to with the IMB has said, that's a hard place. That's a hard place. And a little bit of pride in me goes, yeah, well, we've lived in a hard place. You know, we live on the edge of the jungle and we've done that stuff. And then somebody said, this one guy was telling me about it, and he goes, you need a lot of prayer support. He said, if you don't have a lot of prayer support, if you don't have a good prayer life, you will not make it. He goes, it's pretty telling that the one guy who was there and the family was there, neither one of them made it more than a year and a half. So we've had two units in that city. Neither one has made it longer than a year and a half in that city. It is a hard place, and we're gonna need your prayers, guys. I'm begging you, like Paul's saying, you also must help us by prayer. I want you to pray. I want you to, don't forget about us, please. I know you guys won't, but just in case. I'm begging you, just please keep us in your prayers. And we'll keep you in your prayers. I hope that this will be a mutual thing. As we send out emails, I want to get emails back saying, hey, you need to pray for so-and-so. Hey, we're doing this event so that we can be on our knees praying for you guys. So that when we fast and pray, that we pray for Plaquemine, that God's gospel will go out and the people of Plaquemine will experience revival, will experience the hope that we have. So thank you guys. Thank you for bearing our burden with us in prayer, and your concern and your love for our family and kids. I've never not come here and just completely. I've been in some places and not, you know, like, well, who are you again? You know, things like that. And I'm like, I spoke last week, you know. But I've never felt like that here. I mean, you guys remember me. You know us. Even though my head's getting baldy, you recognize me still from the back. And so I appreciate that. We love you guys. And we're going to hang around afterwards. Probably in the back, I guess. I'm dictating now. We're going to hang around the back. We have prayer cards for you too to take. Just pick these up. Pray for us, and we'll pray for you guys. We're going to leave some extra. Pass them out to your friends at Bayou Sorrow, White Castle, because we hold them dear too. And we'll be in the back if you have any questions or anything. You just want to talk. We'll be hanging out afterwards back there. So thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
We're going to pray for y'all. And, you know, let's just do that right now. Make sure you grab one of these. I'm going to ask for, if you want to come down, Justin, Allison, y'all come up here. If you'd like to come down, we want to pray for them right now. They're leaving this week, and they and their family need our support. So let's gather around them, church family, and lift them before God, their family and the work, and that their gospel message and faithfulness would be fruitful. Father, we lift your vessels to you, and we pray, God, that you would use them for your glory. Lord, as their desire is to lift up the name of Jesus and make his name known in a place where it is not, their desire in their heart is to proclaim the goodness of you, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, to a people who are indignant, to people who do not want to hear this word, to people who are against the name of Jesus. So God, we pray that your Spirit would go before them, that your Spirit would prepare hearts, would do your transforming work, would bring new life, would regenerate souls under the preaching and proclamation from the Rayburn family. Lord, we pray for protection for this family, not merely for comfort, but for good. And as the Apostle Paul sometimes fled and sometimes stayed, Lord, we pray that you and your divine providence over their life would protect them so that your name might be magnified over the period of time that you have them there. Lord, we pray that you would give them a sense of direction, a sense of clear direction as they get there, and how to pursue methods and the nuts and bolts and the practicalities of how they will do what they do. Lord, give them effective and clear communication so that those hear and reject, that they will have heard clearly the gospel message. Those who hear and receive will have clearly heard the truth. And Lord, you have told us that your sheep hear your voice, that they know you and they follow you. We pray, Lord, that you would raise up your sheep in the desert, that you would raise up your sheep in the wilderness and draw them through the message of Christ on the cross, and the repentance of sin and forgiveness of sins and new life. Oh Lord, draw men unto yourself for the glory of your name. Lord, we present these ones we love and we care for and we cherish to you as our representatives in the desert. May you use them for your kingdom's sake. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In response to what Justin has shared with this church, this couple is begging for our prayers. May we not let them down. May we not neglect the work, our partnership in the gospel with them. So I pray that you will take one of these and put it on your refrigerator or on your cabinet where you see it regularly. And as you wake up in the morning, as you go to bed at night, that you would lift up this precious family. And you've heard their heart. May we not neglect our part of their mission. Y'all want to get into God's Word this morning? Father, we just come before you with a sense of inadequacy that you are God, that you are great, that your ways are so much greater than what we could ever hope or imagine, that your will is so much, so further beyond our petty thoughts. Lord, we come upon you, we call upon you as dependents. And we pray, O God, for your word to transform our lives through your Spirit. Or transform our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would raise up more missionaries, more workers in the field in our church. Lord, I pray that you would put the call on people's lives to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth for the namesake of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would call people in our church to do hard things. Do things that hurt. Because the name of Jesus is worth it. Lord, raise us up. And no matter where we are in life, young or old, raise us up to do hard things for your kingdom. Lord, by faith, allow us to fulfill what you've called us to do. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all probably know the song. Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I've heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops. High above the chimney tops, that's where you'll find me. Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. Birds fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh why can't I? If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why, oh why can't I? It's the longing of the heart that Judy Garland captured us with her song. There beside the haystacks on the farm, a longing to find something better. To find a place where all things were right. She longed for it. And as eyes gaze upon her and ears hear her sing that song, the longing wells up within us. Is there a place where things are right? Is there a way that things can be right? The book of Ecclesiastes challenges us. It challenges us greatly. In fact, for the first two chapters, you're thinking, man, this is depressing. Vanity. Vanity. It's all vanity. Why does it even matter then? And the preacher even tells us that. Why does it even matter? I began to think, Who cares? Surely there's something better than this. I've done it all. I've lived the life. I've learned it all. There's got to be something better. Where is this place? How can I know it? And we've looked at that, haven't we, church? The last 2 weeks, I've reminded you that there is a three-word phrase that points us past the depression and past the despair, past the times when everything you own is covered in mold and you go, is this really worth it? A three-word phrase that Justin Allison, I hope that y'all will never forget. Church, what is that phrase? Hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in God. When you have nothing here to hope for, when you have nothing there to hope for, hope in God. He is your refuge. He is your strength. He is the reason why you're doing everything you're doing. Hope in God. It's really neat to see that as a church, we have started a campaign in 2016, and our campaign is Each One, Reach One. Right, church? We're praying, who can we reach? There's one person this year that I'm going to invest in. One person that I'm going to do the best I can and not give up on for 12 months. Each one, reach one. And for you, Justin Allison, and for each of us, I offer this encouragement. As we reach one, hope in God. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 12. The preacher, Koheleth, in Hebrew, the preacher, last week he sought pleasure, he sought laughter, he sought wine to cheer him, he sought possessions to satisfy him, he sought making things and fashioning things. And he comes back in verse 12 almost to a surprise. And he says to us, so I turn to consider wisdom. Wait. I turn to pleasure. I turn to fun. I turn to possessions. I turn to crafting things. And then this morning he turns to consider wisdom and madness and folly. And we step back and we go, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Didn't he already run that path in chapter 1? You remember 1 verse 13. Then I saw there was more to gain in wisdom than in folly. He continues. What does he mean by this? He turns to consider wisdom. Here's what I think is going on here, church. He's run these tracks all through the first two chapters. And so he says, then I turn to think about it. I've done all of this and I haven't gotten over the rainbow yet. I haven't made it to that place where everything's right. Look in the second half of verse 12. I've even done it so that it's been done so well, nobody after me can compete with what I've done. For what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what I've done. Look, I've done it all. Where is over the rainbow? Where is it? Verse 13. then I saw that there's more to gain in wisdom than in folly, just as there's more to gain in light than in darkness. Okay, so maybe there is some value in my first trek of wisdom. It's definitely, he's saying, better to be wise than foolish, because, well, let's read. Verse 14, the wise person has his eye in his head. In other words, he can see straight. He can know what's going on. He's not caught in the lie or in some drunken stupor somewhere. But the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceive that the same event happens to them all. You see where he's going. You know, it is better to be wise than a fool, because at least when you're wise, you can kind of see. But there's a catch. Verse 15. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? Look, the end game is the same result. We both live in this machine called the world, called under the sun, this machine that churns us up, that molds our things, where moth and rust destroy. At the end of the day, the wise and the fool have the same outcome. End of verse 15, he says, and so I said in my heart that this is also vanity. Remember, guys, vanity is not necessarily a bad thing. Vanity is, it's passing. This too shall pass, right? The mold will go away. New toys can be bought. When they break, things that are stolen can be replaced in many cases. Vanity, it is passing though. And the message is, it's passing. And the conflict comes and goes. But there's a gotcha. Look in verse 16. For of the wise as of the fool, there's no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies, just like the fool. Yeah, it's passing, and we're both going to die. Verse 17, so I, what? I hated life. Because what is done under the sun, what is done in this world was grievous to me. It was afflicting me. It was saddening and depressing to me. For all is vanity and striving after the wind, it's all passing. Why does it even matter? Let me ask you this. As our friends come from another country, come to America, born and raised in America, go to another land and come back here and see that, you know, America has worked very hard at making your life better, hasn't it? I mean, just watch Shark Tank. Right? Dun, 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 dun. They're making things better for your life. I saw a guy this week as I was walking through, he made a clothes hamper that when you drop stuff in, it stretched to the ground. And as you took clothes out, guess what happened? It stretched back up. You didn't even have to bend over to pick up your laundry. That's the American way, y'all. Did you see that one, Miss Sherry? All right, that's the American way. You don't even have to bend over to pick up your laundry. So let me ask you a question, America. Is America happy? is America happy? Have we found our over the rainbow? While that laundry, magic laundry basket is there on TV, for every magic laundry basket that's sold, there will be 3, 5, 10, 20, 100 people addicted to medications or a bottle or a substance to let them find over the rainbow somewhere. Maybe over the rainbow is my little secret time. America wants over the rainbow. So I hated life. Because I never found over the rainbow under the sun. The preacher gets to the place in his thought process where he hates life and just says, you know, I would rather not be here. I'm going to die anyway, just like the fool. Friends, I want to remind you of this. This is a precious truth that you all know, that we all know, what we must be reminded of. You will die one day. We do everything we can to prolong that moment. We have an industry that is saturated with ways of prolonging that day. But friends, I must remind you, because this is where the preacher is. I'm going to die anyway. Why does it matter? I think we need to be there with him for a moment. Because the wise man in life knows he's going to die. The wise man in life, in light of the truth of death, appropriates his life. He gets his affairs in order. He prepares for the day knowing that death will come. Hebrews chapter 9 says, "And just as it is appointed for man to die, and after that comes the judgment." If you are hearing my voice, there will be a day you do not hear any voice other than that of your Heavenly Father. And you will stand before Him. Hebrews 9, continuing. There's hope. So Christ, having offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting Him. The wise man and the wise woman know that there will be a day that I will die. But he gets his affairs in order beforehand. And the question is for you, O sinner, is will you be saved? Will you be saved? Are your affairs in order? Are you ready to die? And friends, I will tell you this. The chances are fairly good that someone in this room will not be here on February 28th next year. Will you be saved? And I'll put it to you, I've been reading through the Gospel of Luke this week, and I'll give it to you like Jesus gave it to me this week. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, He said this, I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So friends and sinners, I come before you saying, get your affairs in order before that day. Repent of your sin and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the word says in Acts and in Joel, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Are you calling upon the name of the Lord? Oh sinner, come to Jesus. Without the blood of Jesus, you are guilty and accountable for your sin and for all of your searching for over the rainbow. Apart from Him, come to Jesus. Come to the one who died to bear God's wrath for you in your place. Come. Come to the cross and seek forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. I hated my toil in which I toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to men who come after me. There is an emptiness, friends. There's an emptiness in knowing that over the rainbow will never come. And as you've seen Him say, I hated life. I hated my toil. I hated everything. Friends, there is a day you will die. But I want to offer you this as well. There is a day that you will live. And it is today. The message of Ecclesiastes is hope in God. Because while there will be a day that you will die, there is a day today that you will live. And if you do not live today in light of the truth of that day when you will die, then you will be in bad shape. Because you will stand before God on your own merit against His holy and perfect law apart from the grace of Jesus Christ. So here's the message this morning. Here's the message, Justin and Allison. Bring this to the people in Northern Africa. Hope in God. There is a day of judgment coming. Hope in God. Hope in Christ, because on our own merit, when we stand before Him, we will be guilty. But if we come before the cross of Jesus and place our burden upon the cross, and our burden is paid for by the blood of Jesus as we come to Him, that they can be saved. You can be saved. Oh, there's hope in Christ. There is hope in Christ. So friends, if you are here, maybe you're a believer and you've bought into the over the rainbow idea. Hope in God. Knowing that life here is not worth it apart from the grace of Jesus Christ and knowing Him. Jesus said this, now this is eternal life, that they know Me and the one true God. Eternal life is knowing Jesus Christ. Hope in God. Next week, we look at the toil and where it all ends. Friends, please be back next week. Next week, we finish out. There is a place where we will die, but there is a place to live. And next week, we get into, well then, how shall we live? How shall we live? In light of that one truth that we will die, how then shall we live? Next week. There's a three-word phrase that defines the book of Ecclesiastes. Church, help me out. Hope in God. Let's pray. Father, we come before You with our hope being only in You. When our things are moldy, where moth and rust destroy our things, and when thieves break in and steal, Lord, may we know that our hope is in You. When we as a church are working each one to reach one, may our hope be in You. When we raise our children up under the teaching and admonition of the Lord, may our hope be in You. When we go to our job each and every day to provide for our family, may our hope be in You. When we teach our Awana classes on Wednesday nights, may our hope be in You. And when we go to far and foreign places, may our hope be in You. Lord, draw us to know that there is a day we will die. But until then, we must live and live hoping in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is our hope. So, Lord, transform our lives by this truth. May we hope in God. May we hope in You. In the name, in the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want you to consider, how would the Lord use you for His kingdom's sake? Is He calling you to go? Is He calling you to go to a people? Is He calling you to go to a person? I can tell you the answer. The answer is yes, He has. It's clear in His Word. Pray about how you can do that. The Bible says, pray for workers in the field. Right, Justin? Pray that He will send forth workers into the field. Church, will we be workers in the field? Will this church body unite and be workers in the field? Will our hope be in God? That they will see that this is a church who believes God is worth hoping in, and we will do hard things for His kingdom. You pray about what you need to do this morning. Be obedient to God's will for our church, for you, and for your family. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Let's stand and sing and respond to the Lord. Wherever He leads, I'll go. You can pray at this altar. If you need me to pray with you, I'd do that. However you need to respond, you'll be obedient to the Lord. follow Jesus.
I'll follow my Christ, who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go.
Amen. You may be seated. I do encourage each of you, please come back next week. You will die, but you will also live. What we'll talk about next week is big. It is the turning point of Ecclesiastes. Next week, you will die, but you will live. Join us next week. A few things to mark on your calendar. March 6th, that is next Sunday morning. Oh, my Sunday school class, you just got a break. You just got to pray. You got 2 weeks to do your homework this week. Next Sunday morning, we are doing a new members class in the choir room. Okay? If you have joined the church and you have not been through new member orientation, your presence is requested. This is where you'll learn all about what you need to be doing or how to do it better.